Good morning, welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Yotes, the 19th chapter of Yirmiyahu. This is a perek which is really a short perek, and the title of it is The New Flask. This prophecy is a visual prophecy which Yirmiyahu yields, and it's during the middle section of the reign. Remember that there's three kings that he practically prophesizes during. It is the Yoshiah at the beginning, Yehoyakim in the middle, and Tzidkiyahu at the end. We're in the middle of Yehoyakim's reign now, where he is being persecuted already. He's been put on trial, even though it's not chronologically that way in the book of Yirmiyahu, but he's been put on trial already for his prophecies, and now he is continuing to prophesy the prophecies of doom. And this is the first one after his trial against the king, or really talking about the future, which is inevitable at this point in time. And so that's the context in which he is doing it. This is a very specific thing. It's another action prophecy. So here's what happens. The Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to go to the potter's house, to the Yotzer Chores, and go halach v'konis of vakbuk. Go buy a flask. A flask in those days obviously was a clay vessel which had a plug at the top, but this would be used to store liquids. He's meant to buy a new one. And then he's going to summon Mizikne Omam Mizikne Kohanim, the elders of the people and the elders of the Kohanim, and he's told to go out to Gay Ben Hinnom, to the valley of Ben Hinnom or Hinnom Valley, which is actually today it's disputed, but there's a few locations just outside of Yerushalayim, not so far away. And he's supposed to go with this jug and go and tell them the following prophecy. He tells them the following. Hinanimi veru alamakom azer shokol shama titzalna oznov. Yirmiyahu says, I'm representing a prophecy which is going to be so terrible, so terrifying, so catastrophic that whoever hears it, their ears are going to ring from it. So obviously this is a very, very heavy prophecy. Yeah. Why? Because the people left me in this place and they sacrificed to other gods who weren't mine, and they filled this place with innocent blood. And they use this place, they put altars here for child sacrifice, oilas labal, sacrifices to the Baal god, ashilot sivisi, which I did not command, le dibarti, I did not speak about, loy also al libi, and never even arose on my mind, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Yirmiyahu says, continues his prophecy, he says, lochein, therefore, hinei yamin ba'imano Hashem, there's days which are coming, this place is not going to be longer called the Valley of Tophet. Tophet is, or Tophet is the description of the altar to the gods, the Assyrian Phoenician gods. This will be called the Valley of the Massacre. Why? Because I'm bringing in this place a terrible massacre where people are going to be killed. There's going to be so many people who are dead that it's just going to be the vultures of the heaven eating their bodies from this place. Anybody who passes through here will just scream from the carnage and the destruction that is over here. People will eat each other. It'll be the most disgusting description. And then Yirmiyahu is told to break this flask to in front of everybody. And he says, that's how it's going to be for this valley, and that's what's going to happen to all the cities of Yehuda. They're going to be buried, and there's no place to bury anymore. And Yerushalayim and Batei Malchut Yehuda will be like this Makom HaTofes HaTameim Nechol HaBatim Asher Kitru Al Gagoseim Nechol Tzva HaShemayim VaSeich Niskom LeElohim Achirim, and all the places where Bnei Yisrael served foreign gods, that's how it's going to be just the same as this place. And finally Yirmiyahu goes back to the place of the Chatzar Beis Hashem, so he goes to the outside perimeter of the Beis Hamikdash, to the gate. And he tells them what he just did, and he tells them the prophecy that is going to be coming to them. So just a few things to think about. That's the summary of the perek. Let's just think about a few things which are surrounding this. So first of all, what is the why here of all places? So it seems pretty clear when we learned Melachim that that Gay Ben Hinnom, this valley, is being used by has created certainly in the times of Achaz and Menashe, the earlier kings, was a place for child sacrifice, for Assyrian idol worship. Remember, as Achaz and Menashe adopt the Assyrian, not just simply public policy and tax paying, but they adopt them full heartedly. So they also adopt adopting their gods and their spiritual ways. And this valley used to be the center of all of this. It is interesting that after Yoshiah Melech, the son of Ammon, who's the descendants from Achaz and Menashe, actually destroyed Tophet. Melachim is pretty clear that he destroyed it, and it's unlikely that Yoyakim, his son, is somebody who actually reinvigorated this. So it seems like more symbolic that Yirmiyahu is saying there's still this leftover sin. What is this actual news that he's talking about? So if you want to go through the rest of Tanakh, there is only two other times that there's a set of news which is being described that will shake the ears. One is given in the beginning of Perek Gimel of Sefer Melach, of Shmuel Aleph, where Eli is told about the destruction of the Mishkan, which is that anything Asher Shamoi Titzal No Shnei Oznov, which is about the destruction of the Mishkan. And then there's an anonymous prophet in Melachim Beis, Perek Chof Aleph, which describes at the time of Menashe, that there's going to be this terrible thing coming to you, Yerushalayim. Anybody who hears it, their ears will ring. So again, it's about destruction. So it seems like this, he's talking about the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of Yerushalayim. And he uses such strong language because clearly everybody else knows this is a very unique prophecy. It's not something which is just bad stuff. This means really, really bad things are coming. And the breaking of the flask seems to be very important over here. As the Malbim points out elsewhere in Tanakh, notably in the beginning of Lech Lecha based on the Ramban, that when a prophet gives a prophecy and attaches to it a physical action, that physical action crystallizes that prophecy in an irreversible way. So by breaking this flask, he is almost in a certain sense concretizing this gezerah. And we should think about this carefully. Rabbi Binyamin Lau points out that if you think about it as different to the prophecy that we've seen previously, where Yirmiyahu went to the potter and he watched him break a vessel and reshape it, over there, we're talking about the earlier times of Yirmiyahu, where he's talking about warning about doing teshuva, where there was still hope. There, at least in that prophecy, there was a potential of refashioning the material into something else. Here, the description we've been talking about something which is already a finished product. The flask is something which is only one thing, and once it's broken, there is no way to reconstitute it. So it's much more of a terrifying description over here. I want to just end with two last thoughts. One is this pasuk which Yirmiyahu says describing child worship or child sacrifice as worship. I did not command, speak about, or even think about in my heart. Hashem is saying that's how disgusting and how much he abhors child worship. Is actually a very interesting pasuk on many levels. The Gemara in Tanis tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referring to the fact that he never ever wanted child worship, not by Avram and Yitzhak, not by Mesha, the king of Moab, who sacrificed his son on the wall when he was losing the battle, as we saw one interpretation in the beginning of Melachim Beis. And not by Yiftach, who sacrificed his daughter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo tzivisi, v'lo dibarti, v'lo olsa alibi, refers to all those three situations in Tanakh that I never ever wanted child worship. But on a deeper level, there's actually a beautiful essay by Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, which appears in Kobetz Shurim, and he explains that actually, if you look at the translation of this pasuk, it goes as follows: Loi pakiris ba'araisi, v'loi shalachis biyadi avadai nevi'ai, v'loi ra'av akadami. There's three levels of Hashem's expressing himself what he really wants. One is an explicit command, a prescription. One is something which is sent in the hands of the Nevi'im. And one is, which is just a rise up on Hashem's heart, the Ruach HaTorah, the what Hashem really, the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is interesting is Rabbi Elchanan describes that in a certain way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys himself on different levels. One is a specific mitzvah. Hashem says, Shamar Yom HaShabbos L'Kachra, keep Shabbos. That's explicit. We know what to do. There's other things Hashem doesn't say, but later on in the times of Yeshayahu, through the Nevi'im, we see, Daber Davar, the way we speak on Shabbos, the way we interact, the way we walk. Then Yeshayahu HaNavi is describing things which were part of the tradition of what Hashem wanted, even though it wasn't commanded explicitly in the Torah. And the third level, V'lo Rav HaKadamai, that didn't come up as my will, Rabbi Elchanan argues that a lot of the mitzvahs midrabbanan, a lot of the rabbinic enactments are there to convey those ideas. Those things which are Hashem's will, they are given the ability to be able to turn those into, let's say, for instance, muktzah. So muktzah isn't even spoken about in the Nevi'im, but it's something which the rabbanan fashioned around Shabbos. There's the explicit command, there's what the Nevi'im described about the aura of the day, and then there's what the Chachamim to actually prescribed in halacha as an expression of these different levels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see that many parts of the Torah are to be found in these three different compartments. It's very important to understand the trajectory and the development of the ideas and how they've been codified into our very lives today. And finally, at the end of this parak, just so we should realize that when Yirmiyahu does this and he comes and makes this public proclamation, we're going to see in the next segment how this is going to have a terrible flak. It's going to come back to hurt him because of his prophecy. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.